thing that struck me was I want everyone around me to have this experience that I'm experiencing. I want all my friends and family to have their sins forgiven. I want all my friends and family to become family with God. I want them to experience this incredible joy that I had. But very quickly, when I was thinking about, okay, so I want to talk about Jesus, I want to talk to Jesus about my friends, I want them to be forgiven by God, I want them to have a relationship with God, I started to get really scared, because it's pretty hard to talk to someone about Jesus. It's pretty hard to share your faith and to try to share this good news about how they can be forgiven as well. And I remember some of the kids at school who were Christians as well, and they would speak openly, and they were embarrassed and mocked in front of the other kids. And just seeing that, I just thought, man, this is not the gig for me. This is too tough. I want to tell these people, but this is just really hard. And I kind of wish that I had have read Acts chapter 4 back when I first became a Christian. Thanks. Because Acts chapter 4 gives us a way of how to deal with this. And Acts chapter 4 gives an example for us to follow when we really just want to tell our friends and family about Jesus. So the scenario here in Acts is we have ordinary people, new Christians, on an extraordinary mission filled with an extraordinary God. And we'll see that we as ordinary people are on the same extraordinary mission and can be filled to the brim with the same extraordinary God. So I just want to share that passage in three parts tonight. First, we'll look at the extraordinary mission. Second, we'll look at how the people were just ordinary, everyday people. And lastly, we'll talk about being filled with an extraordinary God. So you may have had a similar experience to me in really wanting to tell people about how they can be forgiven for their sins. Okay, and you think, wow, you know, I just want everyone I know to know what I know. I want everyone I know to experience what I experience. I want to go on a mission to share this message. And the Christians in Acts chapter 4 tonight, they felt exactly the same way. They're on a mission to share a message. And we've seen over the past couple of chapters that they were talking about Jesus everywhere in the marketplaces, the streets, the temple, even right up into the High Supreme Court, which is kind of like the parliament, the religious parliament of that day. And just remember back to what Michael shared with us a few weeks ago about the message that they were sharing. It's the same message that we share, we want to share when we become Christians. And I'll just take a verse from chapter 3, which just really sums up what the message was. This is Peter preaching here, and he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So their message was the same as ours. Okay, they're saying, hey, look, don't be your own boss. Turn back to God. Come to God. Become part of God's family. Have your sins washed away and be refreshed. Have God's blessing on your life. It's the same message that we want to share with our friends and family today. And it's not just one man here. Here we have Peter summing it up pretty well. But in our passage tonight, we see that not just Peter, but that all the Christians at that time were super, super keen to go sharing this message. So we see in verse 23, leading on to the end, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions," so Peter and John went to the other Christians, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. So when they'd heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord." So all the Christians together are praying to God, and they say, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." So they're getting together and they're saying, "Lord, please help us to speak like Peter spoke. Help all of us to share the message that Peter was sharing." If you've been a part of this community for a while, you probably would have got the drift that this is exactly what we're on about, right? This is our main mission. This is the core of what we are about here. We talk about it every week. We talk about forgiveness of sins and how you can put your faith in Jesus. That's what we're about. That's what we want to do in Kalanga. And we also do it at other places, not just here in this community, but once a month some of us go to a nursing home, sing some hymns, share a message about Jesus and chat. Some of us, 1 week a year, we take it off and we go down to Sydney. We meet up with some other Christians, and just for a whole week, our primary purpose is to tell as many people as we can about Jesus, about how they can be forgiven. So we don't just do it here, we do it all over the place. But even though this is our community's mission, this is what we are really about, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's incredibly difficult. Just like I was petrified when I first became a Christian, maybe you felt that way. Maybe you felt that it's pretty scary trying to tell people about Jesus, okay, especially with the opposition. As soon as you try to tell someone like Jesus, it's not, people don't sit there and think, hey man, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear about forgiveness of sins. I want to hear about God. You have got my undivided attention for the next 2 hours. Bring it. And then you preach the message, you hug, you kiss, you make up, and it's all dandy. It's not like that, is it? It can be really tough sometimes to talk to people about Jesus. Now, the early Christians in our passage tonight, they faced the exact same thing. The first thing that we read tonight was that just after Peter healed the lame man, he's taken to the upper court, the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like the federal parliament of the time, so it's a pretty big deal. And they threatened him. They told him to stop talking. See, here we see. So they called him and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishment. That's pretty rough, right? I mean, two Christians have gone to the parliament, the place where it all happens. You know, they're rubbing shoulders with the big boys in the biggest city that's around, and they're threatened and told, do not keep talking about Jesus. That's some pretty fierce opposition, right? And if you're not already discouraged enough, we'll take it a step further. When they pray to God a few verses later, they actually say that God planned for there to be this opposition against Jesus. Okay, saying that God said to them 1,000 years ago, through David, that when Jesus comes, there's going to be opposition from the people, the rulers, the kings, everyone. So verse 24, this is what they say in their prayer. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David had said, to God speaking through David 1,000 years ago, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So do you see what's happening there is that 1,000 years before God said, when Jesus comes, there's going to be opposition. And the Christians here are praying, Lord, you planned for this opposition to come. Okay? Is that discouraging or what? That God actually planned for the opposition towards the gospel. It's hard. It's hard. It's the same for us today, that there can be a lot of opposition. You know, it can be hard, as we were saying before. You find it really hard and difficult to talk to people to the point where you just don't want to say anything at all. But we see here that these men did say something. These men did say something. They're incredibly bold. So that begs the question of who are these people? And are they still around today? Are these people still around today? And if they are still around today, let's find them and let's send them out to go preach the message. That's what we want to do, right? Sometimes we're tempted to take a vote and we think, okay, well, who's the best speaker? Okay, who's the best communicator? Okay, let's find a super opinionated person who doesn't care what people think, and we'll send you out to go share the message of Jesus and to face the opposition, and we'll just sit back here and, yeah, we fully support you, brother. We're with you in spirit, you know. We're praying hard for you, brother. Go, you know, preach the message. And then as soon as something goes wrong, we leg it. We get out of there. We don't want to be associated with the person. That's what we're tempted to do, right? Let's pick the most talented person and we'll get them to talk about Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the way that I feel quite often. That's the way I feel quite often about talking to my friends. Let's just find the most talented person to do it. But is that what God has for us tonight? Is that what God's example is for us? And that leads us to the second point, ordinary people. The people here in Acts chapter 4 were super, super ordinary people. Average, run-of-the-mill, stock-standard people. The main speaker here, Peter, was a fisherman. So he had no education, he had no training, he had no social status. He's probably never been to the high court before. They don't know who he is, he doesn't know who they are. He's just your average Joe, your average tradie. And this is, in fact, really, really obvious to the people. We see that the high priest acknowledged the fact that they are uneducated and untrained. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled. They found it absolutely amazing. Yet we see something about Peter here that even though he's such an ordinary guy, he goes to the high court, the religious parliament of the day, and his message basically says that you're all wrong. Your religion doesn't lead you to God. You need to have faith in Jesus. You need to be forgiven. Okay, that's incredibly bold and bizarre. When I think of ordinary people, my family comes into mind, first of all. Very ordinary family, especially my parents and my mum. My mum didn't complete high school, as a lot of people did back in her day. So she finished at year 10. She took a cooking class at TAFE, and then she just worked as a secretary until she had kids. So she's just a super ordinary lady. And that's not a bad thing. Like, ordinary is normal, right? So, but she's just a normal, ordinary lady. And what happens here is kind of like my mum going to Canberra, walking into Parliament House during question time and saying, listen up, guys, I'm sorry but you're wrong. Hear this three-point plan about how to fix the country, I'll tell you. I cannot imagine my mother doing something so bizarre. She would have to be under the influence of something, under the influence of God or something else, to do something so crazy, because she's such just an ordinary lady. But we see here that Peter's in the same boat. No training, no education, ordinary guy, and here he is giving it to the leaders of the country about how to be right with God. So why is Peter different? That begs the question, why is Peter different? What makes Peter so bold and bizarre? Is he crazy? Is he trying to start a fight? Is he a hothead? One more thing I just want to share about Peter, just to put what's going here into perspective, is that this isn't the only time that Peter had the opportunity to talk about Jesus, right? If you might have remembered back when we were going through John, that where the night that Jesus was taken to be tried and executed, John was there watching, and a little girl comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you Jesus' friend? And Peter goes, no, no way. And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're a Galilean. You're from around the place where he is. And Peter says, no, not even kidding. Don't even know the guy. And then everyone's like, yeah, definitely you're friends with Jesus. No, don't know him. Couldn't preach to a little girl. That was Peter. Couldn't preach to a little girl. Had absolutely zero boldness. So that means that Peter here, he isn't crazy, right? He isn't a hothead. He's kind of like us, okay? We get scared. We feel that we can't talk to people. There's just too much opposition. Peter was just like us. But something happened in between denying Jesus to that little girl and speaking in the high parliament of the day. Something happened. And that leads us on to point three. He was filled with an extraordinary God. So the example that we have here, the example that God has for us in Acts chapter 4, is that God here uses ordinary people to complete an extraordinary mission because he fills them with himself. They're filled with an extraordinary God. And we see this, just want to share a couple of examples of this. The first is that this is actually what made Peter stand up in the high court and give his message to all the leaders. We see right at the start, of Acts chapter 4. It says, it came to pass, it's a bit of a long one, it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many are of the family of the high priest, pretty much anyone who's anyone, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's Peter and John, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and then he goes to town. He preaches this amazing message. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he preaches this amazing message. Amazing. So bold. So that means, well, is it just Peter? I mean, does God just fill one person? Does God just fill one person to preach? Or does God fill lots of ordinary people? We see in our passage tonight that all the Christians are onto this. Our passage starts with Peter coming back and sharing what had happened to his companions. Okay. It says that in being let go, they went to their own companions, so Peter and John, and they reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they said, hey, look, you should have seen what happened. I was filled with the Spirit and the high court, and I gave this amazing message. And this is how all the Christians respond. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea. And a few verses later, they pray, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So they're saying, Lord, fill us the way that you filled Peter. Help us to do the things that Peter did. Fill us with your Spirit. Work through us like you did with Peter. They're all really seeking it. And then check this out. One verse later. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with this Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How good is that? Peter gets filled, he speaks the word, he comes back, tells everyone, they ask God, they get filled, and all of them go and speak the word. It wasn't just Peter, it was the whole bunch of Christians. So the one thing that these people, the example that God has here, is that ordinary people for an extraordinary mission need to be filled with an extraordinary God. It's not just picking the extroverted person. It's not just picking the most intelligent person who's great at talking. It's being having God fill you to go on mission, speaking the message. So in a sense, it's kind of like a car, right? I mean, a car's got one mission, to go from A to B. But what does it need to actually go? It needs to be filled with something. Can't do it by itself. Doesn't matter how expensive the car is, doesn't matter how talented it is, doesn't matter about its fuel-injected something system or bucket seats or whatever. Doesn't matter how great it is. If it's not filled, it can't actually go anywhere. If you want your car to go from A to B, you need to fill it up. And it's a similar deal here with these Christians. They're on a certain mission, and they can't do the mission unless God fills them with his Holy Spirit. So that begs the question for us tonight here on how do we get filled with the Spirit? How can we be bold like Peter and all of these Christians? Okay, how can we be filled with God to go out onto the mission? And the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? You probably guessed it. They just ask God. That's all they do. As soon as Peter comes back, they ask God, Lord, please fill us. Please grant to your servants that we would be bold and that we would be able to speak your word. So our mission in our community, as a community here, this is what we believe and this is what we practice. Just give you a few examples of that. We just prayed before, prayed during the service that God would teach us, that God would fill us. Whoever's giving the talk at Kalanga in Everton Park, prays that God would fill them and that God would speak through them. Whenever we go to the nursing home to share the message, we pray, Lord, fill us, help us to speak this message. When we go down to Sydney, we spend half an hour every day praying for people and asking God to help us, fill us with your Holy Spirit to go out and share this message. And it's amazing what God actually does. It's amazing the conversations that are had at the nursing home, you know, with people who can be pretty against Jesus. It's amazing the kinds of people God uses on beach mission to share the gospel. we had one of the newest members last year have one of the best conversations with four or five guys just sitting around a campfire and just talked about Jesus with them. When we pray, when we ask God to fill us, even to this day, He does, and He helps us. He gives us boldness to go out onto the mission. So just to finish up, we see that we're ordinary people. We may not be talented. We may have no education, no training, like my mum and like Peter. These guys were ordinary people. They were on an extraordinary mission to tell people about Jesus, to see people forgiven for their sins, to see people become family with God. And this is our mission, right? When we're so wrapped up in God, we want everyone else to be experiencing the same thing as we are. But we can't do it on ourselves. We need to be filled with an extraordinary God. And God invites us, His example for us in this passage is to come to Him, to ask to be filled, and He will fill us. He will help us to go out and to share the message.